I want you to take your Bibles and turn, please, to 1 Corinthians chapter number 9. Lord willing, we'll finish this chapter this evening before we have our informational meeting. I've entitled this, How to Avoid Becoming a Castaway. How to Avoid Becoming a Castaway. One of the problems on which the Corinthian believers sought Paul's counsel was how to deal with things sacrificed to idols. What should believers do in a situation where meat is readily available at a reduced cost because it has been offered in sacrifice to some pagan god? Tonight's message is set right in the middle of this section on eating meat which has been sacrificed to idols. Paul shows in it how his practice as an apostle illustrates the principle he has taught in chapter 8, that everything ought to be done in love rather than in selfish interest. Although Paul was entitled to the support of the people, I mean the financial support of the people, Paul, out of love, waived his right to this support. Likewise, Paul, out of love, limited other rights by adapting himself to the customs of the people to whom he ministered. Even though he is free, Paul, out of love, made himself the servant of all that he might gain others for Christ. Paul, out of love, when with Jews, lived like a Jew to gain the Jews. And Paul, out of love, when with Gentiles, lived like a Gentile to gain the Gentiles. Out of love, he also became as weak to gain the weak, and he did this for the gospel's sake. Paul urges the believers to run the Christian life in order to win and receive the prize, and is aware that, out of love, they must limit some things they do just as he has done. We've all noticed some believers who really seem to be living for the Lord and bearing much fruit for many years, but who somehow, later in their lives, no longer seem to be having the same zeal for the things of the Lord, and who no longer seem to be bearing fruit. This is true with both lay people and with those in full-time service. Of course, it's very sad. There's no question about their salvation. They are saved. They know it. And everyone else knows it too. It's not a matter of their having lost salvation either. The Bible plainly teaches that one may not lose his salvation. It is a matter of their having done something or of having failed to do something which has rendered them useless to the Lord for further service, or a matter of their having become unproductive as a result of having to be benched by the Lord. If one is on an athletic team, he wants to play, not just to sit on the bench and watch. Nobody wants to be a bench warmer. Some don't have the ability to play, and they'll spend considerable time on the bench. The illustration in verse 27 of becoming a castaway, however, is of one who has been in the starting lineup and for one reason or another has had to be benched by the coach. He is no longer able to be productive. It's what Paul wishes to avoid. Castaway means disapproved. The analogy with being benched in athletics breaks down, however, in this regard, because there are only so many positions on an athletic team, whereas everyone can play first string in the Lord's service. In 1 Corinthians 9, 19 through 27, we see how we as believers can avoid becoming castaways in the Lord's service. We must recognize in the first place that any one of us could be benched. People seem to think that everything such as death, and sickness, and cancer, and accidents, always happens to someone else. However, since the Apostle Paul was concerned lest it happen in his life, we should likewise be concerned lest it happen in our lives. Not only must we recognize that any one of us could be benched, we must also recognize what our ministry really is. Paul was an apostle. We are not apostles. 1 Corinthians 9:1, am I not an apostle? The answer is yes. Am I not free? Have I not seen Jesus Christ our Lord? Are not ye my work in the Lord? Paul was entrusted with the responsibility of preaching the gospel to the Gentiles. And that's exactly what he did in 1 Corinthians 9:16 and 17. We read, for though I preach the gospel, I have nothing to glory of. For necessity is laid upon me. Yea, woe is unto me if I preach not the gospel. For if I do this thing willingly, I have a reward. But if against my will, a dispensation of the gospel is committed unto me. God has called us, you and me, to serve him in and through the local church with the talents he has given us. The Lord will determine our places of service. It might not be what we would have chosen, but God knows best. And we will not really find happiness if we are out of the Lord. What is your ministry? Your ministry might be to work with the children. Your ministry might be to clean the facility. Your ministry might be to teach a Sunday school class or to work in children's church. Your ministry might be to hand out bulletins. We all have varying ministries. I happen to be privileged to be the pastor of the church at this time. We need to do our best to fulfill our ministry, whatever it is. And we see this in verses 19 through 23. Verse 19 is a general statement of Paul's practice, whereas verses 20 through 22 give specific examples of his practice. Verse 19 says, for though I be free from all men, yet have I made myself servant unto all, that I might gain the more. For though I be free from all men indicates that Paul is nobody's slave. Yet have I made myself servant unto all as I have enslaved myself, or I have served as a slave to all and means to all people. Pastors that think they need to have everybody bow down and worship in their direction ought to read this passage, don't you think? I'm supposed to be a servant to you folks. That is exactly the way I read it. I hope I'm fulfilling that. If I'm not, you point it out to me, just like it had to be pointed out to me about the ladies in waiting, singing, ready to sing this morning. Sometimes I'm oblivious as to what goes on around me. Not very often. I might know or perceive more than somebody thinks. Just be careful what you go and exhibit in front of me. I might just conclude something. That I might gain the more is Paul's purpose for making himself servant unto all. That suggests in order that, or for the purpose that I might gain the more, suggests I might acquire the more people. And unto the Jews, I became as a Jew, that I might gain the Jews. To them that are under the law, as under the law, that I might gain them that are under the law. In verse 20, Paul is explaining how he sought to reach Jews for Christ. Unto the Jews is simply to the Jews. I became implies that a change took place when Paul was with Jews. As a Jew indicates that when Paul was with the Jews, he would do nothing in violation of the law. That would be the Mosaic law, even though he knew that he was no longer under the law. That I might gain the Jews is in order that I might gain Jews. Although Paul was not seeking to obtain righteousness by keeping the law, he would live his life in a manner consistent with the law so as not to alienate Jews in order that he might reach them for Christ. In the second half of verse 20, Paul restates the same thing in different words. To them that are under the law, as under the law, that I might gain them that are under the law. To them that are under the law is simply to the ones under law, and it's referring to Jews. As under the law is as under law. The reader must supply, I became in his thinking before as under the law. Paul lived before the Jews as if he himself were under the Mosaic law. Now, Paul's purpose in living as if he were under the law is that I might gain them that are under the law. It was not a compromise on Paul's part. Rather, he chose not to alienate them before he had ample opportunity to present the gospel to them. I might gain implies I might gain or acquire for Christ. He made it possible for himself to reach Jewish people. The ones Paul desired to gain for Christ are them that are under the law, those under law, meaning Jews. It happened to be the group he was with. We should be similarly acting in such a way that we can reach people regardless of what station they have in life. But to go around as if we're high and mighty and we're looking down on all these poor peons, it just doesn't cut it. We know that. Verse 21. To them that are without law, as without law, but not without law to God, but under the law to Christ, that I might gain them that are without law. In verse 21, Paul is showing how he sought to reach Gentiles for Christ. To them that are without law refers to Gentiles. As in the second half of verse 20, I became must be supplied in the mind of the reader. This time I became must be supplied before as without law, so that it reads, I became as without law. As without law indicates that Paul lived as if he were not obligated to obey the Mosaic law before those who were not under the Mosaic law, being not without law to God, but under the law to Christ, is a parenthetical statement intended to show that Paul was not lawless. It also shows that he did not involve himself in any sinful practice or in any doctrinal compromise. Not without law to God suggests with law to God. But under law to Christ is used in the sense of but subject to the law, or but obedient to the law to Christ, means that he is obedient to Christ. Although Paul is willing to adopt Gentile culture when with Gentiles, he is not willing to sin against God the Father or Christ. That I might gain them that are without law means in order that I might acquire for Christ those who are Gentiles. As we go into verse 22, Paul deals with another group. To the weak became I as weak, that I might gain the weak. I am made all things to all men, that I might by all means save some. To the weak is to the group of people who are in some way weak, lacking strength or powerless. This is a group of believers, probably new converts, who are more scrupulous than other people and have regarded some things as sinful, which were not sinful in and of themselves and which others would not regard as sinful. You consider how you were raised. I was raised in a home where certain things were not done, okay? We did not play cards. Why not? I'm not sure I understood all the reasons at the time. We just didn't do it. So do I like playing cards like old maid? No, it bothers me. I'm a weak believer when it comes to playing cards. Do I shop on Sunday? Not unless it's an emergency. I was brought up not to shop on Sunday. Interesting, isn't it? I don't mind going to a restaurant on Sunday. Isn't that a contradiction? Sure it is. I understand that. You might have been raised with some scruples that were taught to you by parents or grandparents, and you might therefore be uncomfortable with some practices of some believers. To the weak, Paul became as weak. Yes, I'm weak in some of these things. So are you, maybe, if you think about it. Became I as weak indicates that Paul changed his lifestyle to conform to the lifestyle of the weak. That I might gain the weak indicates the reason Paul became as weak to the weak. That suggests in order that, or for the purpose that, I might gain, again speaks of reaching people for Christ with the gospel message. Those Paul's desires to gain or acquire are the weak, meaning the class or group of people who are considered weak, who are lacking strength, or who are powerless. You may find yourself in a situation where people have problems with what some believers do. If you find yourself in that situation, just be what they are. You don't have to sin in any way. But you understand, there are some people that have problems with certain things. I'm not going to even mention what those things are. You can figure out what some of them might be. But if you're going to be around those people trying to reach them for the Lord, then don't offend them by doing what they would think is wrong. I know there are a lot of people that have a lot of ideas of what are things that are right and wrong, and I don't necessarily agree with them. But when I'm with them, I try not to be a problem to them and encourage them to sin against their consciences. Rather than continuing to list examples of various people or groups of people Paul wishes to reach for Christ, he summarizes his practice by, I am made all things to all men that I might by all means save some. I am made is simply I have become. The word the appears in the Greek text before all things, which indicates that Paul has in mind the sum total of all things which are consistent with Paul's new sinless nature as a believer. He does not mean that he would become a murderer in order to reach murderers with the gospel, or that he would become anything else which would be wrong for Christians to be. To all men is literally to the all. The before all in the Greek text indicates that it's the sum total of all humanity. Paul's statement is not limited to adult males. That I might by all means save some indicates the purpose for which Paul has become all things to all men. It suggests in order that, or for the purpose that, I might rescue some from sin and its consequences. Some implies as many as he can. It does not necessarily suggest that Paul expects to save most people. Instead, it suggests relatively few in comparison to the multitudes who will not be saved. By all means, by any and all legitimate means, it's clear that Paul has no intention of sinning in order to reach people for Christ. So, What are you and I doing in order that we might reach people for Christ? Pick out someone that you know, whom you believe needs to be saved or to straighten his life out with the Lord, and begin praying for him. Be praying that God will give you or someone else an opportunity to speak to him about his salvation or his Christian life. Maybe it's a friend. Maybe it's a relative. Maybe it's a neighbor. Maybe it's someone at work. Invite him to church. If he comes, he will be certain to hear the gospel here. I guarantee it. I always have a way of working it in. I've done it for years, and it can be done. And we're not trying to single anybody out, but we want people to see that they need to be saved. And this I do in verse 23, for the gospel's sake, that I might be partaker thereof with you. The content of this refers to Paul's last statement in verse 22, which says, I am made all things to all men, that I might by all means save some. I do this for the gospel's sake. I am doing it on account of, or because of, or for the sake of the gospel, that I might be partaker thereof with you, in order that, or for the purpose, I might become a participant of it with you. I may participate with you in the benefits and blessings of proclaiming the gospel as laborers together with God. Well, not only must we do our best to fulfill our ministry, whatever it is, it doesn't matter what it is, as long as it's what the Lord wants you to be doing. We must also eliminate anything which might hinder us in fulfilling our ministry. Know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize? So run that ye may obtain. And every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. Know ye not, expects a positive answer. It implies you know, don't you? And assumes, yes, you do. Therefore, you are seeing, you are perceiving, or you are recognizing, and what you know is that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize. What's he talking about? Well, they which run in a race run all is all the ones who are running in an arena or a stadium are running. But one receiveth the prize is, but one person gets or obtains the award for finishing first. Perhaps you've seen pictures of some marathon like the Boston Marathon, where it looks like thousands of runners start running the race, and a couple hours later, only one wins. What if you come in second? You lost. Nobody wants to finish second in a race. I never did want to. I often did, but I often finished second or third or tenth, you know, but I didn't want to. I never entered a race I didn't want to win. Never played a game I didn't want to win. Doesn't mean I always won. You understand how that works. My wife and I used to do things together, and if it was competitive, I always wanted to win. So did she. That was fun. We enjoyed it. Yes, she did beat me at some things, okay? I won't tell you what, all right? It wasn't football. I can assure you of that. Paul admonishes the believers, so run that ye may obtain. So run means thus be, keep on, or continue running, that ye may obtain, suggests, in order that, or for the purpose that you may seize, you may win, or you may make your own the prize, meaning the victor's prize or award, which should be supplied in the mind of the reader. Although it is possible for only one person in a foot race to be the winner, it is possible that all believers can be winners in the race of life. Why is that? Whereas in a foot race, each runner competes against all other runners. In the Christian life, each person competes only against himself and will be appropriately rewarded for his own faithful service. You are in the race of life as a believer. You can finish first. You're the only one competing against yourself. It doesn't matter what abilities you have. Serve the Lord with all your heart in the sphere in which he wants you serving him. He'll take care of the reward for you. Every man, in verse 25, that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. Every man is each one or every one, and may refer to a male or to a female, that striveth for the mastery is who engages in a contest. He is the one who struggles in an athletic event, is temperate, means is controls himself or abstains. And its tense indicates normal or customary action. It is typically true of every athlete. In all things, as in respect to all things, he's careful what he eats or drinks or how much he eats or drinks. Now they, meaning the ones who strive to be winners, do it, meaning they are temperate, to obtain a corruptible crown. It's contrasted with, but we do it to obtain an incorruptible crown. They, which refers to athletes running in a race, is contrasted with we, which refers to believers running the race of life. They, to obtain, is a purpose clause, which means in order to, in order that, or the, for the purpose that they might receive or get a corruptible crown, a perishable crown, or a wreath subject to decay or destruction. They're wanting first place. They're wanting a gold medal if they're in the Olympics. They don't want a bronze medal or a silver medal. They want a gold medal. Well, I don't blame them. If I'm in one of those races, that's what I would want. So would you. But they don't even invite us, do they? No, they haven't invited me lately to be on one of the Olympic teams, and I guess they probably never will at this mature level that I have attained. They do it to obtain a corruptible crown. Just as athletes discipline themselves to win races, believers discipline themselves to win in the race of life. So how do we discipline ourselves? With prayer, with Bible study, with obedience to the scriptures, and with staying out of sin. So how are you doing? How's your prayer life? You got a list of the people in this church? Are you praying for them every day? They need it, just like you do. How's your Bible study coming? Oh, you can't find your Bible? Well, if you can't find your Bible, look for it. Maybe you'll find it under some book someplace else. Study your Bible. I understand that sometimes people don't understand some things, but you know, we're going through three different series in my messages in a week. Why not read those same passages in advance before you get to church every day and see if you understand it the way it gets explained? Maybe you'll have to correct the speaker. It wouldn't be the first time somebody suggested that I rethink what I said. It happens. My mind is not yet perfect. I want it to be, but it's not. What about staying out of sin? Don't get involved in it. What about obeying what the scriptures say? Think it through. You're in the race of life. Bible study, prayer, obedience, witnessing, staying out of sin, all of these things are what we all need to be doing all the time. But we, an incorruptible, suggest that we believers run the race of life in order that, or for the purpose that, we might receive, we might get, or obtain an incorruptible crown. That is a crown or prize not subject to decay or deterioration. It is a crown or prize, a reward given at the judgment seat of Christ for faithful service to the Lord. Therefore, in order to obtain a reward for faithful service to the Lord, we must follow a definite plan to fulfill our ministry. I therefore so run not as uncertainly, so fight I not as one that beateth the air. I therefore so run not as uncertainly, is I indeed am running, but not aimlessly. Paul's running is certain or clear. So fight I not as one that beateth the air. So fight I as I am fighting with fists, or I am boxing, but not as beating air, which means that Paul boxes as one who hits his target. Not only must we follow a definite plan to fulfill our ministry, but we must also discipline ourselves to fulfill our ministry according to verse 27. But I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. Bud is introducing a statement in strong contrast to running uncertainly or beating the air. I keep under is literally I'm striking under the eye, or I'm giving a black eye to. That's literal. Symbolically, it's used in the sense of I'm treating roughly, I'm tormenting, or I'm maltreating. Here, its use of boxing terminology is consistent with the last half of verse 26. But Paul is not literally abusing his body. My body is that which Paul is keeping under, or that to which he gives a black eye. The body is the instrument with which a believer serves the Lord. I bring it into subjection as I'm enslaving my body, lest by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. Shows negative purpose. Lest perhaps, lest by some means, lest somehow when I have preached, or having preached, or after I preach to others, I myself, implies Paul himself and no one else, should be or become or might become a castaway, someone who is not standing the test, someone who's unqualified, someone who's worthless, someone who's disqualified, and it suggests someone who gets benched from further service. This verse has nothing to do with loss of salvation, which is an unscriptural concept. Paul's desire was to so discipline himself and his life that he would never be disqualified from Christian service in the sense of put on the shelf or benched. In the same way, no athlete who's ever been a starter on a basketball, a baseball, or a football team ever wants to be benched because of poor play, poor performance. So if you would be interested in avoiding being a castaway in your service for the Lord, if you would be seeking to avoid being benched in the Lord's service because of an unprofitable spiritual condition, you need to recognize that it could happen in your life. You need to recognize that your God-given ministry, what it really is, you need to be doing your best to fulfill your God-given ministry. You need to be eliminating anything which might hinder you in fulfilling your ministry. You need to be operating with a definite course of action, with Bible study, with prayer, with obedience to the scriptures, and seeking to witness. You need to be keeping your body under subjection, avoiding sin, confessing and forsaking sin, or else you might wind up being unprofitable, being disapproved, being a castaway, being benched in your service for the Lord. So I ask you as I close, how are you doing? Go home and think about it. What changes might be advisable for you to make in your own life? Let's pray. Our Father, thank you for the opportunity of studying this portion of thy word. Help us to strive for the mastery as Christians, to live faithfully for thee and never do anything that would result in our being disqualified from further service for you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.